Parshas Emor, towards the end of the parsha, at the end of the parsha, the Torah tells us a very disturbing story. It tells us the story of this Mekalel. Mekalel is a Ben Ish Yisraelis. His mother is Jewish, his father was a Mitzri, and he does something that we can't imagine doing. He goes out and he curses HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mekalel. Ultimately, the Torah tells us he gets killed, and that's the way the parsha ends. What was bothering this Mekalel that caused him to be so angry, so upset, so frustrated at the world, society, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Judaism? What was bothering him? There's a bunch of different pshatim given. Rashi in the Gemara had some pshatim. One of the pshatim that Rashi goes with is that he was very upset by the lechem upon him. He was troubled from the parsha right before the story in Chumash. It tells us about the lechem upon him, that the bread was left there. And he felt that it was left there for 9 days, from Friday till the next Sunday. And he thought the bread gets stale. It's not right to offer lechem upon him stale bread. He was very troubled by this notion that the bread that's on the lechem upon him, that's on the shulchan, is stale bread. And this he couldn't handle. He couldn't handle the fact that the stale bread being served on the shulchan. So the kashya that many mafarshim ask, and it's a very, very fair question, is we're talking about over here the first generation leaving Mitzrayim. So it means he saw Kriyas Yamsuf, he saw Esa Makos, he saw the Mon, and he's worried about how you're not going to have fresh bread, you know. Bishlama for us to complain, okay, we don't see Yad Hashem as clearly as we should or could, whatever it is. So right away, we complain about things. But for a person who saw Yad Hashem every single day of his life, so major events that we can only imagine, this is such a troubling question. How could it be? How could it be fresh bread? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the water split? He did it, so he could do this also. Why are you so troubled by this? And this leads you to go out and be Mekalel Hashem. Secondly, points out Reb Schwab in his Sefer. He says, there's a Gemara, I think it's a Menachah. The Gemara says they showed everyone. They said, look, it's fresh. Everyone could see it's fresh. So what was his grace at Taina? Wait, and they'll show you, and you'll see it's fresh, and you can move on with your life. What was so troubling this Mekalel? So the answer, I believe, is that what was troubling the Mekalel wasn't the bread, or fresh bread, or anything else. The Mekalel had an agenda. And he decided that he's going to find problems with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, find problems with Klai Yisrael. He was what we call preconceived notions of the way he wants things to be. And when you have that type of attitude, all the rayas and all the proofs in the world are not going to make a difference. When a person decides a certain thing based on whatever he wants it to be, then it's irrelevant of all the rayas. You can show him in his face, look, it's no, it must really be stale. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can do it? No, not this time. So although, you know, we don't like to consider ourselves a Mekalel, but sometimes I think we all fall into this trap of preconceived notions. We decide, that's it, a certain group is a certain way, or a halacha is a certain way, and you can bring me all the proofs in the world, and we don't hear it. We decided, we passled, we said, this group is good, this group is no good, this halacha I do, this halacha I don't do. Preconceived notions is something that we're all very guilty of deciding certain things, and people can prove us otherwise, and we don't hear it. We mamish close our eyes, and we don't want to hear anything. Someone said a great line. He said, for those who believe, there are no questions. And for those who don't believe, there are no answers. Very true statement. If a person is a real maimon b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he goes with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. If a person is not a maimon, you can give him all the answers in the world. They'll never suffice. Because this Mekalel was a troubled youth. He had problems. Yeah, listen, his father was a Mitzvah. He came from his mother wasn't exactly the highest ranking member of society. She had her problems. So he had a difficult youth. But the core of his problem wasn't, how can the bread stay fresh? The core of his problem was that he wasn't happy with Yiddishkeit. And these were all just merely excuses and notions of to try to express his distaste for Yiddishkeit. So how do we combat this attitude? Which again, we're all guilty of it on some level or another. We decide that certain things are the way we think it is and we don't want to hear otherwise. So I believe the answer is the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha, it says, Emor v'amarto. So this is the mikor in halacha for the mitzvah of chinuch. It says, Lahazir g'doy malaktan. Say to the parents, to say to the children that they have to keep the rules. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very beautiful piece in his commentary on Chumash where he writes, what's the two talking? He says, when you give over things and messages to the next generation, you have to give it over in two steps. First, Emor, tell them, you can't do this, you could do this, this is right, this is wrong. And then the second giving over is with a certain amount of love. That you love what you're doing. You appreciate Shemir Shabbos. You appreciate Kashrus. It's not just do it because I say so, because God said so, if not you'll be struck down with lightning. Do it because you love it. Says Rav Moshe, this is what he writes in the Sefer. He says, don't tell your children that you know how hard it is for me to keep Shabbos. You should just know how much Mesiras Nefesh I put in every single day to keep the halachas. Says Rav Moshe, you know what's going to happen? The next generation is going to say to themselves, I'm not as strong as you, Dad. You were a strong guy. You were able to be Mesiras. I'm not such a keeper. I'm not interested. Says Rav Moshe Lehebach, the way you should give it over to your children is, it's not a tough, I love it. I enjoy it. I enjoy closing business on Friday and having the weekend off. I love it. I lose money. It doesn't bother me. Says Rav Moshe, that's the two talking. When it comes from a hava, when it comes from a love, when you're doing it out of, I love what I'm doing, so then I think we don't look for so many reasons to find flaws in it. When a person finds flaws in something, it's because they're not really enjoying it. If someone tells you, you have to do this, fine. So if I have to do it, I do it. But then I always look for ways out of it because I don't really love what I'm doing. It's like, that don't work. If a person takes a job he doesn't really love, he's not really going to give his full lev and nefesh to it because he doesn't love what he's doing. When you love what you're doing, you're not looking for ways out of it. You're not looking for kashas on it. You love what you're doing. So the way to combat the end of the parasha, the mekal, is really what we do in the beginning of the parasha. Is when these things are given over with love, when it's given over with, this is nice and this is beautiful, this is what we want to do. I think maybe that's pshat why all of the mayadim are in Parashas Emor. All of the mayadim. Rosh Hashanah and Kip, all of them, all the holidays. So I was thinking maybe that's the pshat, because in the beginning of the parasha, according to this Rav Moshe, it's about doing things with ahava. The Yom Tovim are a very stressful time for most families, and many times the children pick up on this, and they say to themselves, this is not worth it. All this money spent on Pesach and all this work built on the sukkah, what do I need it for? So on that, the Torah tells us at the beginning of the parasha, make sure you give it over to them that Yom Tovim are not pains in the necks. They're not inconveniences. They're not financial draining on you. You love them. And therefore, they will then not turn into the end of the parasha, the Mekal. The Mekal wasn't raised properly. It wasn't his fault. Nebuch, he came from a troubled background, troubled youth. But the lesson of the Mekal is really the beginning of the parasha. When a person does what he's doing because he loves it, not because I'm always looking, you know, people come and they're always looking to find something wrong. Why do they have that attitude?
I once heard Benny Friedman from Raita Yeshiva in the Old City. He once said, he was with Israelite, also Rabbi David Aaron. Uh-huh. He was speaking to Kira. He once said he was speaking with a bunch of high schoolers, and he had 50 of them, and he said, I'm going to say a word and tell you what the first word that comes to mind. So he said Shabbos, and he goes, every one of them screamed out, no.
Right.
And he said, that's the problem.
100%?
All they know is no. You can't do it.
That's right, that's right.
No one ever thought that,
You don't teach.
Day.
If you're right. My son is 4 years old. He told me he doesn't like Shabbos. So I said, why? He said, because he can't play with his toys. So I said, it's cute when you're 4, but when you're 14 and 24 and 34 and you still say that, that's when we have trouble. And there are plenty of adults that don't like Shabbos for that reason, that they can't play with their other toys, their electronic devices. And it's just because they don't appreciate what the day is. If we give over Shabbos, it's a beautiful way and not just a restrictive day. Right? Today people don't like to be restricted. It's not a fun thing to be restricted. The answer is not a restrictive. I also say you can't walk in front of a bus. That's not called being restrictive. That's called being smart. So there are certain restrictions that are there to help you. We just have to spin it in a way that people understand it, but that's the avoda. I heard this from my Rabbi Leibowitz. He said today it's not only the chassidim that are trying to discuss living, serving Hashem with the simcha. It's even in the Litvisha world. We can't know the Litvisha style used to be do it because that's the way it says in Shulchan Aruch. Do it because that's what Kosh Baruch Hu wants. And it lasted 200-300 years. He says even today amongst the Litvisha yeshivas it's not like that anymore. You have to inject some form of love and appreciation because if not, we're going to lose it. We're going to lose an entire generation. They can't handle that do because you said so. It doesn't work anymore. So today, even amongst the Litvish yeshivas, they're injecting much more of what we call the chassidish spin on things about the simcha and the enjoyment and the gishmak and parties. I think it's an important lesson. But that's, I think the Mekalo's mistake. And that's a pshat. Many people ask, why did Shevet Don not take this guy in? One of the pshatim was, all this fellow wanted to do was to join Shevet Don. He wants to be part of the camp of Shevet Dan because his mother was from Shevet Dan. The problem is, it doesn't work by the mother, it works by the father. So many people ask, Schwab asks this, and Alta from Kelm asks this, Kash, why can't they just take the guy in? Listen, he's in the Nebuch, take him into the Shevet. What does it hurt to put another bed there? I think there were 60,000 people in Shevet Dan. So there's 60,000 and one? What would be the big deal? The answer is because he has a very dangerous attitude. He has a poisoning attitude of not understanding the way Judaism needs to work. This fellow has such a negative look and such a preconceived notions, he can really pollute the entire Shevet. So therefore, they didn't take him bedavka, because a fellow like this is not safe to have around. If the fellow would have other problems, they would take him in. But this fellow has really, real troubled issues. Troubled issues, that stuff is catchy. You put that around other people, they catch it. It picks up. The Alta from Kelm said, you see from here how important it is to have good neighbors. You have a bad neighbor, a bad friend, and that's all it takes. He starts to pollute your way of thinking, and we lose it. So therefore points out that's the pshat, because it was such a terrible ideology this fellow had. It wasn't just that, he didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was worse than that. He didn't think that, he had preconceived notions about things, he was always looking to find trouble. When you always look to find trouble, that type of person can't be amongst Klal Yisrael. It's interesting, Rav Kook has a beautiful word in this week's parasha. It's worth mentioning. It's really a sukkah's word. Well, because parasha is more sukkah, it's kedai to say it. Rav Kook says, we say in davening, "Ufroisaleinu sukkas shalomecha," the sukkah of peace. So Rav Kook said, what does it mean, the sukkah of peace? So he says, if you think about it, you learn Hilchos Sukkah, you'll see there's a lot of kulas in Sukkah. Korachis, Korasik, Doifin Akuma. You could build a lomdish Sukkah that mamash does not look like a Sukkah at all. But that's the rules. You can build all these funny ways. So Zog, Rav Kook, you see when it comes to a Sukkah, we bend a lot. There's a lot of bending involved. It says Rav Kook, if you want to make Shalom, you have to learn how to bend. It's like a Sukkah. You have to be able to bend a little bit, give a little bit, you know, give up on this and be able to extend yourself. The same way we kind of look at our sukkah and we kind of have to like turn our head and say, oh wow, this taco looks like a sukkah. You have to be a little bit more open-minded, says Rav Kook, that that's how it has to be shalom. A person wants to make shalom, he has to be able to bend himself a little bit. He has to be able to go out of his comfort zone and out of his way and say, okay, I'm willing to give a little bit. And again, Mitzat Shein, you're not like Makalo, you're not willing to give away everything. You're not a way to give away all your values and reality. You have to bend a little bit. Sometimes b'shvil hashalom, a person has to bend, has to twist himself a little bit like the sukkah in order to create, in order to achieve shalom. Rav Kook himself was an oyev kol Yisrael. He loved everyone. Rav Kook loved every single Jew in the world. That was his, some say that was his fault. He loved everyone. He just wanted, he didn't see, when he looked at a yid, he didn't see religion, he didn't see ideology. He just saw a yid. He loved every Jew. He has a huge heart of Kook. That's why, you know, he, some people have titles on him for that because he was so open-armed. He took everyone in. He didn't see religion, not religion. He mamish was an oyev kol Yisrael. So Rav Kook, to say as I've heard, he lived that. He would bend and he would do whatever he could to b'shvil Hashem because he mamish loved every single Jew. Meshech Chachma points out at the end of the parsha, why does the Torah repeat to us again the rules of hitting people after the story of the Makalo? So the Meshech Chachma says, because after Klal Yisrael saw this fellow be killed, we naturally got desensitized to death. And this is a problem today in society. The Goyim are trying to deal with this with the video games and movies, is they wonder why there's so many people going around and killing, because all day long they play video games of shooting and killing. It says in Meshachach, when you get exposed to something like that, eventually it desensitizes you. It doesn't leave you with the same fear and awe of what it used to be. So right after Torah tells us that Bnei Yisrael were exposed to a death, they all watched this massive stoning, right away the Torah has to remind everyone, be careful, but this is not the way we act. Don't think that this is now mutter and this is a different ideology. You have to remember you're still not allowed to hit people, you're not allowed to kill people, and you're going to get in trouble for it. Golda Meir used to say, she still can't forgive the Arabs for turning the good Jewish boys into killers. A person goes to war, what happens? He becomes a soldier. A soldier has to kill. So you become desensitized to human life. It's just natural. There's nothing you can do about it. And therefore the Torah is saying that when the more you see death, the more you become, it no longer carries the same value. And this is a problem that, you know, the politicians are discussing today and other people are discussing today. How do you deal with this? You know, when kids go around shooting people, they do it 12, 15 hours a day on a video game. You know, the difference between a video game and real life is very blurred for a 17-year-old kid. And they watch it in movies and they see it on, it's mamish a problem. And this is exactly what the Meshech Chacham was pointing out. This chesaron is why Klal Yisrael had to repeat again after seeing the Makal. They had to learn that we have to be very careful to how we treat human life. Okay. We left off last time. We were in the middle of a Tosfos over here. Just a little bit of the background. We were discussing, the Gemara said that you're allowed to give a get that's not worth a Shavah Pruta. If the piece of paper that you wrote the get on is not worth a Shavah Pruta, why it would be, I'm not sure why not. But for whatever reason, the get's not worth a Shavah Pruta. Says the Gemara, that's a kosher get. Says the Gemara, how do you know? So the Gemara says, because it says in Tarev and Nasan. But Nasan doesn't mean give something of value. That was the Havamim of the Gemara. That Nasan meant give something of value. Says the Gemara, no, Nasan means just give the get. Whatever it may be, give the get. Says the Gemara, I'll prove it to you, because you're allowed to give a get on a Suri Hano. Since from the fact that you're allowed to give a get on a Suri Hano, you see clearly the get doesn't have to have Shavius. If the get doesn't have to have Shavius, you can give a get even Palchus Mishavu. That was the Cheshbon of the Gemara. So Tosfos and Daf Chaf and Gittin is starting to bring other places in Shas where we find the term v'nasan, and you also don't need to give a pruta. Now, nesina, the word to give, is used really in two places. Either it means a transfer, like by get, it's a transfer. The nasan, haget, it means you're transferring the get. Or nesina sometimes means a payment. The nasan means you're giving as a payment. So if it would be a payment, so we understand there's no payments, pachas mishav a pruta. So then v'nasan means it has to be a pruta. But sometimes the Torah's v'nasan is not a payment, it's just an act of transfer, and therefore there's no din, it has to be a shav a pruta. So Tosfos says, v'chein sholaf ish na'aloi, v'nasan l'reyeh. Says Tosfos, one of the places in Shas is chalipin. It says in the Pasuk in Navi, in Rus, Shalaf ish na'aloi v'nasan l'reyeh. He says you're supposed to take off the shoe and give it to your friend. So you make an asina of a na'al. The Gemara says, Loi bein in shav a pruta. The Gemara says in Bab Metzia and Daf Mem Zayin that if you want to do chalipin, the suda that you did, or that you give to the rabbi to make kinyan suda and make him your shliach to sell the chametz, or any other time you do kinyan chalipin, that object does not have to be worth a shav a pruta. You could take a tissue, you could take a pen that's not worth a shav a pruta, and that works also. Ah, in fact, Tosfos, it says v'nasan. Tosfos says, you see that v'nasan doesn't mean a valued object. It doesn't mean just give it. So therefore, all you have to do is give.
One second, how do you compare the two? What, one's a transfer, just a manifestation. The other's the actual item itself.
Yeah, but the Torah still says the same word, v'nasa.
Yeah, but no, when you say, let's say, when you give it to the rabbi, you're just transferring, that's just a manifestation. When you give it,
but that's a fulfillment of this pasuk. When you give the rabbi, when the rabbi gives you his pen, he's fulfilling the din of a nasan, sha'al ish na'alei v'nasan v'yehu. He's, instead of using a shoe, he's using a pen. So if the pasuk in Navi says to make an asina, and you're telling me now that an asina doesn't have to be worth a shavpruta. So it says Taisus Gevaldik. So that's like an argumar that you're making an asinas haget. It doesn't matter what you're trying to accomplish, Pashtus. The idea is what the Taisus, what we're giving. The venasan of the get and the venasan of the na'aloi.
It would be a problem with the get and ksuva.
Right. That would be a more complicated problem, like the sugi we learned before. Thank you. But Zok Taisus, you see from over here that when the Taisus says venasan, the object that you're giving does not have to be worth a pruta. Even though the Taisus writes the word venasan, which you would have thought venasan means a dover hashavius. It's not true. Fine. So Taisus brings a raya from the din of Chalipin. There's only one problem. Both the Marsha and the Maram Shif in Maseches Bava Metzia ask the same kasha. They say, one second, if you're telling me now that we're comparing Chalipin to get, and we're saying that they're both just transfers, no one really cares about the actual value of the object, so asks the Marsha, so why is it that the Gemara writes in Bava Metzia Daf Mem Zayin that although you can give a sudr, a sheet, a handkerchief that's not worth a pruta, you cannot give a siri hanah for chalipin? Not allowed to. If I want to use a pen that was worshipped as a avodah zarah, that pen I'm not allowed to give to the rabbi to do kinyan sudr. So frek the Marsha, one second, I'm allowed to use a siri hanah for get because we understand the venosan of the Torah is just transfer, just give it. Don't worry about anything else. So if that's true, why does that not follow through with Chalipin? Why can't I also give a Siri Hanah for Chalipin? It's the same idea. If you're telling me now I can get away with less than a Pruto, so why can't I get away with less with a Siri Hanah? It's the same idea. The way I get away with less than a Pruto is by saying the Torah doesn't care about what you give. The Torah says give it, exchange it. So the Torah says exchange it, so why can't I exchange a Siri Hanah for the same price? That's the Marsha's kasha. Marsha, Marmshif, that's all in Bava Metzia. So the Marsha number two over here answers. He says, V'loi domili kinyat suda dahach. No, it's not really comparable. Even though you're right, when it comes to Suda, you don't need a Nesina. Meaning you don't need a halachic Nesina. You just need to transfer. We still can't use a Siri Hanah for Chalip. Why? Because it says the word Shu. Okay. It says the word Shu. It says the word Get. Why? Because it says the word shu. Is this the reason why you can't use the Suri Hanah? So the Sma learns, in Chesh Mishpat, the Sma learns, because it has to be Dumya Denal. You learn from the Pasuk Nal that the thing you're using has to be comparable to a shu, just like a shu is not a Suri Hanah, so too you can't use a Suri Hanah.
Have value or it doesn't have value.
Exactly. So I would have said, one second, why don't we say ma nal ispa shava pruta, kol dava shetzarach shava pruta. If you're going to play that game, so I would look at a shoe and I'd say most shoes are probably worth a shava pruta. I would venture to believe. So if you're going to be medame the dine chalipin from the word nal in the pasuk, which the Gemara does, many places in Bamasi, the Gemara makes the halachas from the word nal. But if you're going to learn from nal that it has to be not a siri hanah, then I would have learned the other way, that it has to be worth a pruta. So that troubles me a lot, to learn the Marsha that way. To learn the Marsha that because it says Na'al, everything has to be compared to a shoe, how do you know what to compare to a shoe? Maybe it has to be something that is worth a pruta. It's something that you can wear. I don't know, maybe you can't use a handkerchief. A handkerchief is not something you can wear. It's not similar to a shoe. How do you know exactly what to make the comparison to? So therefore, to me, it's a shtickle tzarechi in how to learn the Marsha. But that's the words of the Marsha. It needs to be similar. It says in the Torah, Na'al.
But a shoe could also be, just like we said, a pen could have. Somebody use it for a bar as well. A shoe could be also
right. The other argument is maybe even a shoe could also be a serena. Again, the word shoe sounds like you're using it in the capacity of a normal shoe.
Well, it's something that has a certain value.
That's what I would have thought. And therefore, then it would hurt us to compare it to shoe. That's the Masha's
check. I say now, not lying. One shoe really does not have a value.
And you're saying one shoe is not so useful. What can you do with one shoe? I don't know. There's one less foot that's cold. I don't know. I'm not sure. But this is again. These are the words in Masha. He's very vague. Masha is very vague. He just writes midichsev now. So therefore, what not clear what you would do with that. So the Avni Meluim over here, number three, has a gishmak apshat to answer this kasha. Says the Avni Meluim, because and I, we have a kasha of Maishna Gabi get the kasha while the Suri Anod the kasha. Why am I allowed to write again on the Suri Anod? Avilu Gabi Chalip and Leimahane be Suri Anod Kedisa Perakazov. It's Mephorosh Gemara. The Gemara says clearly you can't use the Suri Anod. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara doesn't say why you're allowed to use Pochas Meshavah Prutu. The Gemara doesn't say. It's a brisa. It doesn't really give too much reason. But the Gemara also doesn't say, the Gemara doesn't give a reason why you can't use the Surahana either. These are all just facts given to us in the Gemara. So the Avnei Milum is really bothered with the Kasha of the Marsha. Why am I allowed to use for a get the Surahana, but I'm not allowed to use for Chalip in the Surahana? So he says, no. Elokid Amoran, the Gabi get loy boy zechia b'guf aget. Says Avnei Milum, let's go back to the old Aish. Are you really kind of a get? Do you ever acquire the get? That's right. You never really kind of the get. All you need for a get is a transfer. No kinyan required. Transfer. So what? What's his rise? Dr. Avnei Milum? Kivin d'isabal karcha. Oh, what's the biggest raya in the world, which we spoke about many times, and we will continue to speak about before we end this sugya? How do you know you don't need to be kind of a get? Because you can give a get against her will. You can never acquire things against your will. So therefore, that's a raya that you're never being kind of. Imkain, isuri hano nami havi et nesina. So Zogta Avnei Milum, if you want to transfer, you can transfer a Surah Hanah. It's a physical object. If the Torah just wants you to put from point A to point B, you could take a Surah Hanah and put it from point A to point B. That's a physical thing. A Surah Hanah is a halachic thing, but it's physically here, it's in the world, you have a piece of paper that someone bowed down to, and now you have it, and you take it, and you give it to her. Fulfillment of the Torah's din of an asan. No problems.
But you're not allowed to get her
enough. Ah, that's a separate problem. How are you allowed to use it in the Hanah settings? That's a good question. But just if all you need to do is transfer, if all the halacha requires of you is to transfer, so that you could do.
There's an Indian of Hanukkah, you can't own something that's usher b'Hanah,
right? Ah, that's the next
so if you
side.
Didn't own it, you didn't,
there wasn't the backside of the sheets, we're going to start this discussion of who owns Surahana. That's what I want to get to hopefully later today.
There is no ownership.
Is there ownership? Is it shaykh to own a Surahana? So we'll see. It's probably a machloek as we showing him in the Gemara and Sukkah. But that's on the agenda today.
Unless you get on a sheriff.
That's the question. Can you give a get from something which is a Surah Hanah? So now this takes us back two steps. First of all, does the husband have to own the get before he gives it? That was a sugya we learned a few weeks ago. And secondly, can you own a Surah Hanah? We all have in our head that you can't own a Surah Hanah. Is that so pashut that you can't own a Surah Hanah? We'll talk about it in the Gemara. And Sukkah, Blin Adar, hopefully it's on the to-do list. If it's on the back, if it's on the next side, it usually is a skula that we don't get to it. But we will try today to try to get to because it's a Geshmaka discussion.
If the item is on with the
Shreifa. Ah, that's a good. That's a Ksuse Mechtes, all these Geshmaka sugyas that I plan on getting to. Ksuse Mechtes I was supposed to get to 3 weeks ago, so I'm really backlogged on that one. But hopefully we'll get to it in a second. That we'll see a little bit in the Devar Avram. But says Avnei Milum, so what's the difference? So by a get, all the Torah wants is transfer. Give the get from him to her. No questions asked. So you can do a Surah Hanah, you can make that transfer. What's Chalib and Zakta Avnei Milum? Here's the kicker. He says, but Avachalibin the boy she yikna hamaknes a sudr and akine. Sudr Chalibin is not a transfer, just give A to B. It's give A, and A is being koine by the person, and therefore he transfers everything else. But you need a Maisa Kinyan on the sudr in order to start the ball rolling. Oh, Maisa Kinyan, says Avnei Milum, but Kinyan, you can't be koine Surah Hanah. That's not transferable. A Surah Hanah can never be koine or nikna. It's not on the table. So therefore says the Avdum, well, that's the difference. By get, the Torah doesn't need kinyan. The Torah needs transfer, physical transfer. Physical transfer you could do of a Surah Hanah. Chalipin, in order to get this whole thing started, you need to have that I give the sudr to the person. The person is kind of the sudr, and then he's makna me his field or whatever else he's giving to me. But he needs to be kind of it. The Surah Hanah are not able to be kind of. You see from over here. It's shaykh a concept of bailus and kinyan on Pach Mishav Pruta. You might not have dine gneva on it, but you see it's shaykh a bailus on it. That's an interesting point. You see from Avnei Milum, it's shaykh bailus on ownership and transfer of bailus on something which is even less than a Shav Pruta, which is the old chakira. It is Pach Mishav Pruta b'chlam nothing, or it's something, just there's no dinim on it. So this would be a nafkamina. That Pach Mishav Pruta is something, I can own it, but if you steal it from me, there's no gneva because the Torah didn't give dine gneva on something which is Pach Mishav Pruta. But listen to his riots. Kavaldik Rai says, Avnei Milum, and I'll prove it to you. He says, V'hainu nami taimed the tligidich me'agabi karko le'mahani gabi get. That's exactly why you can't do tligidich, right? You can't throw the get in the middle of the street and tell her, go get your get. Why can't you do that? Says Avnei Milum. Because whenever the din is just to transfer, then the Torah is makbid that it goes directly from you to her. Because that's the whole procedure. The whole procedure is merely a transfer. So when all the ruts in our Torah is to make a transfer, then it needs to go hand to hand or hand to chatzur. Mashaking by Chalip in the Torah doesn't care about the transfer. The Torah wants you to own the sudr. So who cares how I end up owning the sudr? Either you give me the sudr, I walk over and take the sudr from the middle of the street. Who cares? Zogt Avnei, when you want to know what the ruts in our Torah is, if you want to know, does the Torah want me to transfer it or does the Torah want me to be kind of it? If the Torah wants me to be kind, then the Torah doesn't care how I get it. Why should it matter? The end result is I own it. But by get, says the Avnei Milum, the Ratzon HaTorah is not that you should own the get, because you never own the get. The Ratzon HaTorah is the transfer. Oh, when the Torah cares about the transfer, then there's detailed rules how to make the transfer.
I mean, it doesn't mean you can't own the get. You don't have to own the get.
Well, clearly,
if you do own the get, why wouldn't it?
But again, that's going to take us back to the old Shaila, Reb Chaim and others. There's two ways to make Gerushin. We're not locked into only one. There might be two ways. If that would be the case, I think that's what we said. Then there shouldn't be a problem with Klugitich.
The point is, this shot is exclusive.
Right, because he's learning that we look at the Torah as, you know, not two options. There's only one option, and that's a Gila in how it works. So therefore, according, it's a very geshmaka way of thinking about it. Right, Lefiza, why is there no problem of Klugitich by Kiddushin? Because by Kiddushin, the Torah doesn't care about the transfer. The Torah cares about her owning the ring. So if it's about ownership, no one cares how you got to that point of ownership. That's the Avnei Milum's point.
But I don't understand, but according to this, why did we say before that the whole sugya that we had about owning the getter, Osios Parchas, I mean, how does that fit in?
We'll get to that. Yeah, that's what we still need to talk about. How does that all work with ownership? If you assume Intim Tzaloima, you can't own a Sirianoa, and you hold the husband has to own the get before, we have a problem. Yeah, that's what we need to get to. Probably
six
next
month.
No, probably next year. By next year, I think we should tackle that topic. So that's so far that we have so far two pshatim. We're getting there.
Okay.
We have big aspirations here. So that's the Avnei Milum's pshat. The Dvar Avram, also known as the Kovner Rav, he has a different mahalach. That's amazing. The Dvar Avram was a Rav of Kovner, and he wrote the Sefer Dvar Avram. He meant it to be like Shas and Tshuvas, like Yigur Moshe. No one learns it like that. They learn the Dvar Avram Mamashin as a Lomdish and Sefer, because his Tshuvas were full of a loaded with Lomdish, and most of it really used when you're learning Lomdish, not when you're using Halach Lamaisa.
Wasn't there a story with him in the Dvar Avram or something?
No, the Dvar Avram died before. Yeah, the Dvar Avram was in the Kovner Ghetto. The Dvar Avram was as famous, and this is a story of Shechter always says over, that he gave Rabbi Soloveitchik his smicha. When Rabbi Soloveitchik came to America, he was supposed to go to Skokie and be a Rosh Yeshiva. To be a Rosh Yeshiva, you don't need smicha. You just have to know how to say Alom Nishashir. So Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't think he needs to get smicha, so he just came and showed up, and there was no money for him. So he didn't have a job. So he said, okay, I'll become a rabbi. But to become a rabbi in those years, you need to have, even today, you need to have some form of a smicha. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't have any smicha. So he sent a letter to the Dvar Avram, who was a cousin of his. The Kovner Rav was a cousin of his. He said, I need a smicha, I gotta get a job. So he sent him a smicha, and he was able to get a job as a rabbi.
He wrote
you can get it online, you can read the smicha. It's a very shorthand smicha. To the Rabbi Soloveitchik.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
He was also in Skokie?
He went initially. There was no job for him. There was no money. So he had to become a rabbi.
They still have no money.
He had a problem. So the Dvar Avram was a cousin of his. So he sent him, so he's bavos that Soloveitchik got his smicha from the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram was a big gadol, but it's funny. The Sefer Dvar Avram is used in all the lomdish sugyas, not so much used in halacha l'maisa. I think there's a couple of tshuvas in Dvar Avram that are used in halacha l'maisa, but predominantly, whenever we quoted it a lot with gerushin and gittin v'yodin and chotzer, usually not for halacha l'maisa purposes. So, Bezak the Dvar Avram, he's also coming to attempt to answer up the Marsha's kasha. Why is the Suri Hano not allowed for Chalibim, but the Suri Hano is allowed for get? So someone wrote him a letter where the guy tied it to him. He has a pshat. Why? Because the halach is that Isuri Anoa is considered Ksusei Mechte Sheura. It's as if it's missing the shear. So the halach is that in order to do Kinyasudra, the object that you're doing Kinyasudra on has to have a certain size to it. Anything that's going to get burnt, the Gemara says, it's as if now the shear is not there. So if you have a piece of paper that's supposed to get burnt, and it's Isuri Anoa, so although the paper looks to you like a regular paper, in the eyes of Chazal, that paper is lacking any size to it. So anytime you need something to have a size, that doesn't work. That's the basic general idea of Ksusei Mechte Sheura. So someone tied it to the Dvar Avram, that's the pshat by Chalipin. The reason why it doesn't work by Chalipin is because by Chalipin, the Gemara says it has to be Gimel al Gimel. There's a size for what you use for Kinyan Sudr. But since it's a Suri Anah supposed to be burnt, it lacks the shear. If it lacks the shear, it can't be used for Suri Anah. So why does it work for get? Because by get, there's no din in the shear. It doesn't say anywhere the size of the get. There's no din shiurim by a get, so therefore there's no din ksusei mechtes. So the Dvar Avram says, I don't like this pshat. So he writes, V'hashtu yoymar, t'lfi divo nifal terutsa d'shir gimel al gimel shesach b'tzud d'rak b'shem chashivas, v'leishayach lo yoymar azeh, v'hadakosh alom e'in kinyin b'yisrayana, v'ani tema. So that one's in all your shakla v'tari. Heicha v'nichle b'terutsa, v'arei in kinyin b'yisrayana stoma ka'aminan. He says, how can you say that's the pshat? There's different types of yisrayana. Not every type of yisrayana has to be burnt. The Gemara sounds like in Bamitzi you can't use any type of a Suriyana, not even those that are not going to be burnt. Ksusei Mechtes works when it's supposed to be burnt. What happens if you have a Suriyana that you don't have to burn? which we'll talk about later in our sugya about that. Ubeemes meikar leka lesa lekushas klal says that the Dvar Ram, I think you're getting all out of, bent out of shape for no reason. I think the kasha doesn't get off the ground in the first place. Why? Tari hachanami in kainim bemiruka. The Gemara says in Mamitzia, there's certain kalim you can't use for chalip. One of them is a meruka. The fish ain't a chashiv. Or you shade a roi l'shtamish. It's useless. A kli that has absolutely no purpose. You can't do anything with it. Therefore, you can't use that for chalip neither. For MK, it's technically labeled a kli, but it's a useless kli. MK, bevade asuri enok guriyim izeh. Sokte dvarom. If you can't have enough from the kli, so in essence, the kli is useless. Call it what you want, but it's useless. Therefore, says the Dvar Avram, she'en ruin the shtamish behen klal, ulefichach en kainu behen, ma she'en no shayach beget. You don't have that by get. So therefore, zok the Dvar Avram, the kash is pashut. The reason why you can't use the suya enok, because it's deemed a useless kli. Because for halach, again, what's the difference if I can't use it physically or I can't use it for halachic purposes? Same thing. It's a useless kli. Useless kli are exempt from chalip. So there are those who want to time that maybe that's pshan the marsha. Dumya dina'al means just like a na'al, something that is usable. You can use it for something, whatever it's going to be. So too, a surah is not usable. From a halachic point of view, it's not usable. Therefore, zokt, the Dvar Avram, that's why a surah no. But by get, there's no such thing that a get has to be usable. By get, the Torah says, give a get. So therefore, by get, you can use a surah no, while you can't use a surah no for chalik. And that's the answer of the Dvar Avram, how to get around this kasha. Okay, so let's get back into Tosis for a second. Now Tosis goes on and says, I have another place in the Torah where we see the word v'nasan. Says Tosis, v'chein gabe truma. In regard to giving truma to the kohen, chita achas by teres the sakri. The halach is if you take off one kernel, one wheat, that exempts the whole pile from truma, at least midarais. The avagav dechsev titin loy, a high fractasis, it says over there titin loy, you have to make an asina. So what do you see? That when the Torah says make an asina, it does not necessarily mean an asina of a shavapruta. We're assuming now that the chita achas is not with the shavapruta. The guy has a huge pile of grain, takes one little kernel, gives it to the kohen. It's a joke. It's not worth anything. Yet the halacha is that still works to be yoytz the din of tite. So Rabbi Chanan has a piece in Pesachos Pesachim where he says, one second, can you give to the kohen a suri hanah? You tell me now it doesn't have to be with a Shavapruta. So we always put Shavapruta and a Surya Hanah together. So Rabbi Chanan discusses, can I give to the Kohen one kernel of a Surya Hanah? And that would be a fulfillment of my Vititit. So Rabbi Chanan, no. Based on this Avni Melum that we learned before. Because Rabbi Chanan said, by Truma, the Kohen has to own the Truma. You can't own a Surya Hanah. So whenever the Torah needs an ownership, this doesn't work. So if Zok to Rabbi Chanan, that's why I can give less than the Shavapruta to Shaykh Kenyan. But a Surya Hanah is not able to be transferred. So therefore, I would not be able to give to the Kohen a Surya Hanah, but I would be able to give to the Kohen less than the Shavapruta. That's what Bukhanan Ta'ara, where he doesn't even mention the Avni Melum, he says it on his own, as a Davar Pashut, that you can't give a Surya Hanah to the Kohen, because you can't be Kohen or Makne a Surya Hanah. That's the statement.
And why was it a Surya Hanah?
No. I'm asking that it says in the Gemara that you're allowed to give to the Kohen less than a Pruta of Truma. So we know in our Gemara, we always put less than a Shavapruta together with a Surya Hanah. Right. So Rabbi Chanan wanted to know, can you give to a Kohen a piece of a Surya Hanah of your grain, and that would be fulfillment of Truma. If the word...
Because you can give less.
Exactly. So because on that, Rabbi Chanan says, no. The reason why you can give less than a Shavapruta is because that's transferable. And the Torah says, give. A Surya Hanah, the Torah doesn't say give, the Torah says, own. That's the answer of Rabbi Chanan based on Avni Melum.
By the way, where do we know this from, that by Surya Hanah you can't own it? Is that Exeris HaKasav?
No, we don't know. It's Machlokes Rishonim. We're going to get to it. Hopefully soon. We don't know that. We didn't say that. You can't be nana from it. Why does that equal ownership? Now, clearly, something
that... You can't be nana from it either, the Kohen.
That's correct.
Again,
if you read the Torah, Vinasan just means to transfer.
Yeah, who says he has to be nana from it?
Right, didn't say
I did mine.
No, you don't have to be nana. Rabbi Chanan's point is you have to be kain it. That's Rabbi Chanan's point. His point is, like Avni Melum said, you have to be able to be kain it. Now, you want to argue and say maybe you don't need to be kain it Truma? Maybe. Maybe Vinasan of Truma is like Vinasan of Inisha. Maybe. Yeah. Rabbi Chanan and both the Avni Melum seem to hold not like that. They thought Vinasan by certain things means you actually have to own it, and you can't own a Surya Hanah. Now, obviously, let's say, this is really a Mefoshik Tzais. Even if you own a Surya Hanah, you clearly have a breach in your ownership. Because owning something that you can't use is clearly a breach in ownership. That's why we know if I have an animal that's roaming the streets of Montana right now as we speak, I can't be makdish at the Beis HaMikdash. It's mine. I own it completely. If you grab that animal, you're a ganav derais. So why can't I be makdish it? Because it's ainu b'rishusay. Things that are not in my control are lacking in bailus. That's a yisoy the Gemara discusses. Yeah?
I don't understand that. So if let's say a guy's a partner in a real estate deal and he's a silent partner, he has no control of it. Does that mean he doesn't own a percentage of the property?
It might be a chasaron in his bailus. Again, I'm not saying...
Right, he's not a controlling member,
if,
but...
If you have no power, it's completely Eder B'Rishus, so that's what the Gemara says.
So every investor in a deal doesn't own it?
Maybe for Makdash purposes. Again, it might depend on what we're talking about. We're talking about something... It's something... Yeah, you have some form of... Again, I'm not sure. I don't know what you need for that type of transfer. But the Gemara says, Dover She'ena B'Rishus, you can't be Makdash. It means if I have an animal roaming around the street, it's mine. There's no question. I didn't give over my bailus. I own it. But I have no control over what's going on. No one's watching it. No one's controlling it. So the Gemara says you can't be Makdash. So the Tzais is going to bring that back to Serena. Hopefully we'll see in a few minutes. So Tzais is being Zerai from Truma. That I'm allowed to give Truma, even a small amount, even though the Torah says the word Titein. So you see that not everything that requires, every time the Torah says Venasa doesn't mean something of value. So the Naidi Behuda has a rather long tshuva, and it's in Madura Tinyana Yaredeya, I believe Simon Kuf Aleph. If you guys double check, you let me know. No, it's Kuf Aleph. It's a long one. It's one of the longer ones. So the Naidi Behuda has an interesting tshuva over here, where he writes the following line, number 5. He says, "Va'imer ani shema shebor lemalosa she'ein lechal shum shir min atayra." He was talking about chala, but you'll see clearly chala and truma are going together. Whatever you do for chala, you do for truma. Says the Naidbuda, ain't any mask me lechutin. V'yeshli loyim b'zeh dover chodesh. Listen to the words of the Naidbuda. I'm going to tell you right now something new. Like kadamli b'zeh shum mefayrish apaisik. No one else has ever said it. A real chiddush. Straight from the Naidbuda. And you'll see the Maratchias takes him to town on this. Zog the Naidbuda, ki ha mitzvah azoyis. Because what was Taisus? Let's go back for a second. Taisus right was from truma. That it says in the Torah to give truma to the Kayin. So you would have asked, how much do you have to give? So it says, v'nasa. So you would have thought you have to give a pruta. Says Taisus, you don't have to give a pruta. Just give him something and you're done. Says the Naidbuda, not so fast. Says the Naidbuda, he thinks, a brisker than Naidbuda. He says there's two dinim in Hafrosh's truma and Hafrosh's chal. Says the Naidi Behuda, ki mitzvah zeh shel hafrashas chala, im ki mitzvah achas, yesh bo shnei inyonim. It's one mitzvah, but there's two elements to the din. Two dinim in the mitzvah. Ha'inyan echad hu lafkia iser tevel menis. The first thing you have to do is the Torah says, in order to make this dough, or to make my grain edible, I have to take something off. And that's misakein the dough, it's misakein the grain. Ki koidim hafrashi hasur b'achila. Before I do that, it's all asur. Vayde hafrashas achala min iser, kvav hafka iser tevel. Now I take off tevel, now it's edible. V'hotcho ha'isa b'achila. Zog to the Naidbuda, v'af ha'machakach yachzik, balu isa ha'chalat. Let's say I take off chala, I put it on the side. Then I put it in my pocket. I don't give it to the kohen. I pocket it. Zog to the Naidbuda, you're a ganef. That does not affect the actual status of the chala. Everything else is tar. Because all the Torah requires you is to be mafresh. I was mafresh. So now I'm a ganef from the kohen. But it didn't affect my actual hafrashas etzem ha'chala. That's the Naidi Behuda's Chiddush. This is like similar to Rav Moshe's Lomdus when the guy sells his chametz and then he's open over Pesach. So Rav Moshe held when the guy sells his chametz in the store and then he's open the whole Pesach. So Rav Moshe, he doesn't renege on the sale. The sale was a sale and now the guy just happens to be a ganef. That was Rav Moshe's Lomdus. Rav Salvation didn't agree, but that was Rav Moshe's famous heter. Rav Moshe held that if you do a mechira and you do it right, the kedasa kedin, so it's sold. Now that you're going to turn around and do business, so now you're just a ganef. You're not reneging on the whole deal. So you can split the two things. One is the ma'aseh mechira, one is the procedure afterwards. Doim it to what the Naidi Behuda is saying over here. Naidi Behuda says when you take off, it's not that giving to the kohen is what's matter ma'isa. It's the actual act of separating. Which sounds...
What's the two inyanim of
when you take off challah, or let's say truma. So before I take off truma, all my grain is not allowed to be eaten. It's called teva. Right. Says the Naidi Behuda, the Torah says take off truma, give it to the kohen. So most of us assumed that it means you take it off and give it to the kohen. And taking it off without giving it to the kohen is useless. You got to take it off and give it to the kohen. That fixes everything. Says the Naidi Behuda, no. The Torah wants you to do two separate things. Take off and give to the kohen. Separate and give to the kohen. So therefore, says the Naidi Behuda, if I did the first process and separated, I mattered all my grain.
The rest of it's not tevel.
It's not tevel anymore. Now I have another mitzvah. I have a din that I have to give something to the kohen. Fine. And if I don't give to the kohen, so I'm a ganef from the kohen. But I did not affect the tevel of my grain.
The example is you took it and put it in your pocket,
right.
But you just didn't do anything with it, you just left it there.
Same thing. I mean
if you just didn't...
Correct, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of giving, right. The Naidi Behuda is splitting the mitzvah into two. Although we always have in our head it's one big package, the Naidi Behuda thinks they're split into two.
But unless you had the intention not to give it, then perhaps the dough is not good.
Why?
if from the outset,
even though you didn't, know, you did separate.
Who says he separated
with the condition?
I'm not sure. We'll see in a second that Noyd Yehuda's son writes a taina on his father and he explains his father a little differently than we're saying it. But the
and
way the way the words sound like to me, the Noyd Yehuda, his mom is splitting them into two independent mitzvahs. Now they can't really be two separate mitzvahs because there's only one mitzvah. The Ramban Shita, right? There's a Ramban Shita about how to count it. Maybe different. That's
like
two mitzvahs.
It's like pigle. You know, you have in mind when you
shekel. Right, but the question of it is, it's a little strange to say, all the Torah wants you to do is to take it off. Bishlam, after taking off, goes to the Kohen. So we understand the whole reason we're doing this. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah said just taking off a little dough makes it ice tevel. That's so strange.
Right.
Well, why should it be like that?
Don't say you...
Exactly. That's what the Rabbi Yehuda is coming to. He's come to argue on this Tosfos. Well, that's what we're getting to in a second. That based on his Yisoid, it doesn't work out in Tosfos. That's his agenda.
Why does that work any different than today? When you don't give it to the Kohen, you make challah.
Right.
You take it off, you still be mafresh the challah.
Yeah, because we can't. We'd love
to. But you still have, so why do you have to be mafresh it?
Because that's the din. The din of hafresh.
Two separate things. That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. The fact that you still have to be mafresh it.
Right. Why today? Why do you have to do it?
No, the problem is we don't give to the Kohen.
Today
it's only Drabbanan anyway. So the question is, what's the Drabbanan level? How they shtelled it avek? So I'm guessing the way they shtelled it avek was to be mafresh it, because that's what you have to do. I don't think it's a riot. I think you have to be mafresh it, and you have to give it to someone. But because there's no one to give it to, so burn.
So therefore you burn it?
Right, because it's still Kedusha.
No.
Chal is still Kedusha. No one's denying that.
No, but the mere fact that you have to be mafresh it. Why? There's nobody to give it to. Obviously, it must be two separate things.
Why? You're supposed to be mafresh challah and give it to someone. But because you don't have someone to give it to.
No, it's two separate things. You have to be mafresh. Otherwise, don't be mafresh it.
No, because you have to.
Today, don't be mafresh
it. Right, because you have to take off the tevel.
What?
You still have to take off the tevel.
Right, but I'm saying, but bizman is that when you don't give it to the kohen. Why are you doing it?
Because again,
Elomai must be right. It's two separate things.
Why? Because you still have to be again. Make believe there's no kohen. What would happen if Bizman Hamikdash there's no kohen to give it to? You'd also be mafreshit and put it away somewhere.
Like until you get a kohen.
Right. So today we
but
don't.
Today you don't give it to a kohen. So why are you doing it?
Tarot says no. Again, I think you just have to imagine today is the same status where there'd be no kohen around. You take it off, you put it somewhere. So today we're never going to get a kohen, so we just burn it because that's some form of kedusha. There's actually, I wanted to give a shiur on challah one of these days, so I believe that we're going to get to that. So I'm hafrashas challah from a halachic point of view. Believe it or not, I get a lot of phone calls from people about they forget to take challah. I got the shiur from two men, forget women, two men. Called me up once.
My wife made
a I guess someone made challah, two different people made challah. Now one was from a lady talk. One man, one lady, they made challah, and they realized after they finished baking the challah, they never talk off challah. Very, very common shayla. So the simple answer is if you live in America, you're way better off than if you live in Eretz Yisrael. That's the simple answer. Because in America, it's much more mekel. So it's chutzlarts. So you just take a little piece off the challah and you're good to go. In Eretz Yisrael, also depends when you recognize. These people all called me, so it was on Erev Shabbos still. So you take a little piece off one of the challahs. If it's on Shabbos, it's a little bit more complicated, both here and in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, you take that piece. Yeah. So maybe that topic one day we'd like to discuss further about challah. But in any case, back to our sugya. So Zoktenei Yehuda, two dinim. What's the two dinim? There's being mafrish the Isa for the sake of fixing the tevel, and then he's giving it to the Kohen as a manus kahuna. Therefore, says the Rabbi Yehuda, Balita Balayinu Lachain in Kanela Gezla Shevit Vayisa Hutra Ba'Achila VaOmnam HaMitzvah HaIkris Litna Lachain. Obviously, the point is to give it to the Kohen. The point wasn't just to take off dough and let it sit on the side. That wasn't the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point was to give it to the Kohen, but v'zeinyan hasheni shemayati sheyesh mitzazu v'shnei inyonim eilu chalukim zeh mizeh, the two separate things. Shalaptura isa eino sheklal min haTorah. If you want to know, let's get back to practical purposes. If you want to know how much you have to separate to make my dough not tevel, that's a kosher. V'afilu mashu poiter isa ketrumas gairin shechit achatz pesachri. V'omnom ho'inyan hashein l'kayim mitzvahs nesina l'kayin. If you want to fulfill your second element of making a nesina to the kayin, then there is a shir midaraisa. Then it has to be a chashiv amount. So why is this Noyd Behud relevant to us? Because this Noyd Behud is disagreeing with Taisvus. Taisvus wanted to bring a raya from Truma that when it says in the Torah give, and it says v'nosan, you're allowed to give less than a shavah prut, it says the Noyd Behud not so fast. That giving of the Torah was only for one part of the mitzvah. That giving was just to fulfill fixing my Isa. But what do I actually have to give to the Kohen? That's not less than a Shavah Pruta. That's actually a substantive amount. I got to give him a larger amount than that. So the Noyd Behud is basically arguing on Taisvus. He's saying that the raya that you bring from Truma and Chala is only half a raya. That's only the part that says to fix the dough is pachas m'shava pruta. That's that brayse that he quotes. Gabi chum machita achas poteris esakri. That doesn't mean how much you give to the kohen, says the Neid Yehuda. That chita achas poteris esakri is how much you need to fix your dough from being teva. How much you have to give to the kohen, that's v'nosam, that's v'titain. That has to be a larger amount. So therefore, says the Neid Yehuda, our taisvis is not such a good riot. Because our taisvis is discussing a different element of the mitzvah of chum. That's the way
that it is. Is he really saying that you could take a smaller amount to make everything not tevel anymore, but you're still not, you know, so the mitzvah
right.
is giving to,
yes.
Then you have to take more to give.
Correct, back. Exactly. And therefore, when Tosis brings a brisa that says, Kita achas by teres es akri, that one grain pot is a kri, that doesn't mean that's the fulfillment of your mitzvah. That means it makes it not tevel.
It has to prove that it's a riot, that it's two separate mitzvahs or two separate.
All right, but again,
it's different.
That's only the that's in the Noi Yehuda's world. That we would have assumed, when we read Taisus, we learned V'chein Chita Achas Potes Zekri means that's all I give to the Kohen and that's the whole package. Before we saw this Noi Yehuda, I think we all would have assumed it's one package. Exactly. Noi Yehuda is now splitting the two. And say that one, then you give Kol Shehu, that makes it not Teva, but you still don't get a full check for making the Sin of the Kohen. That's the Noi Yehuda's shot. Now, he goes, now if you look at number six for a second, the Maritz Chiyas, in the back of Sechaz Gin, he calls it the Noi Yehuda on his Chiddush. And then the Noi Yehuda told us, I never heard such a Chiddush before, I made it up right now, fresh Chiddush, that there's two dinim in Chal. Says the Maritz Chiyas, it's not your Chiddush, it's brought down in Rishayim. He writes, if I entice the Riddish, safe Perik based the Kedushin, there's a taste with that in Kedushin, brought down in the Mishnah Melech, and Hilchas Matnas Aniyim, that writes, Vade mitzvah los is dover choshev, you have to give something choshev, kiv nechsev and nosen. Avon and eroit for the kind mitzvah sin of a term achita achas in the pateris akri. Vyos mi de teva rakshla kaim habayla mitzvah nesina. Says the Maritz Chiyas, the Mishnah Melech quotes a Tosfos who says clearly to dinim. He says, "Alst of the nosan of the Torah, you have to give to the kohen something of choshev. But if you want to know what do you need to give just to take off the shem tevel, that's a kol shehu. That's mamish the Noi Yehuda's lomdus. So the Mishnah Melech was way before him. Tosfos was even more before the Noi Yehuda. So this is not a new chiddush. He says, "Upoiteres akopon makri aval kohen mitzvah nesina tzarich lekohen tzarich shir." Because we can have Ramban, v'ayin shas chuvas Noi Yehuda who says this. And he says, I don't understand. How does the Noi Yehuda take credit for this like it's his own chiddush? He didn't make this up. This is brought down hundreds of years before him in Mishnah Melech and Tayserid. So it's a shiloh of whether or not the Noi Yehuda's Yisrael is correct. That, again, it could be he didn't see the Mishnah Melech, probably didn't see the Tayserid. Mishnah Melech was around the 1500s. The Mishnah Melech was. It could be it wasn't printed. Yeah, 100%. You know,
it's very. Internet.
Right. Couldn't
right,
Google
it. Didn't know,
yeah, I don't know. That's funny. I found the tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe was discussing in the tshuva about Marisayan with shaving. We talked about it on the Tuesday night chair. And we found the Mefurash of Ritvan Makis that discussed it, and Rav Moshe didn't mention it. So I don't know, maybe Ritvan Makis didn't. I don't know. It's hard to know what Svarim, what became popular. The Meiri, no one had the Meiri. No one. That's why, like Boimer, no one talks about what the Meiri says, that they stopped dying, because no one had a Meiri to talk about it. Everyone talks about all these other reasons for Lag Boimer, but the Meiri writes before Ish. They stopped dying on Lag Boimer. That's the Gansa Yomtif in the story. So different Rishonim were not used in different places. So apparently, the Noi Yehuda, to his defense, he did not have a Mishnah Melech, nor did he have a Tetzirid, and therefore he thought he created up this Chiddush. Now, the Noi Yehuda doesn't really stop here. He takes issue with our entire Tosfos. He says, I'm not just going to argue one point of Tosfos, I'm going to argue the whole Tosfos. He thinks the whole Tzushtel that we've been making is troubling. And he says, but it's not really my fault. He says, I found another Tosfos in Masechet Shabbos that says like me, that says Tosfos and Gittin is wrong, so I'm going to just pile on kashas on Tosfos and Gittin. He says over here, V'chol zeh ani chaymer lefi devreim, and even if he didn't begin, aval ikut devreim einei don chas, ani don, I would never have the audacity to argue on Rishonim, except for the fact that I found Tosfos in another place is different than he says over here. So once Tosfos himself contradicts himself, you know what? Let's run with it. I'm going to take other issues with Tosfos. Of course, the Tosfos in Shabbos, the Avchafei, where Tosfos says Mefurish that you need to have for an Nesina Lekoyin, it has to be a Shavaprut. So that clearly disagrees with our Tosfos. But he says, what don't I like about our Tosfos? We'll skip a little bit. He writes, "Ulefi devrayim begitin ech mashma metitain shir shavapruta." How do you know from the word titain that it has to be worth a shavapruta? V'aloi beget k'siv v'nosan, because it says beget v'nosan. V'afilu achi afilu v'suyein omikri v'nosan. Elavadi shani v'nosan deget she'ina kavona elin sinis aget. So what was our whole gemara? Our whole gemara said that when it comes to v'nosan beget, it doesn't mean give something a value, because the get doesn't have to be valued. The get could be suyein nos. You see, when the Torah writes the word v'nosan, it doesn't mean give something a value. Says the Meir Yehuda, it's mamish not a raya. What's the raya? He says, "V'avshei in the shava mu'uma mikri nesina shadava gadol nasan la shal yada muteres la'amla." Says the Neid Yehuda, maybe not. Maybe when the Torah says v'nasan, it means a major giving, a big deal. So you'll ask me, you're giving nothing of value. So what? It's still a major giving because what you're giving has a major impact on people's lives. So that's what the Torah meant when it says v'nasa. Not necessarily value of nimker b'shuk or esuri hano. It meant give something that has major impact on people's lives. So usually the most impact is things of value. Says but if I give you something that's going to change both him and her life drastically, that's called a davar hanasa. So who says the Nayyid Behuda, that when the Torah wrote Vinasa, it means just give anything. It's not just give anything. It means give anything that has either real value, this is what we spoke about last week, intrinsic value, or impact on people's lives. So that's question number one.
Because the whole point of the Vinasa
is to accomplish this.
It's to have an expression of the intent
that's
of
what right.
you're trying to accomplish.
Right? So therefore the Nayyid Behuda thinks there's no riot. Then he takes it one step further. He says, what about Chalipin? You showed me Chalipin doesn't need to be Shavaputa. He says, that's also not a good riot. Why? Because we know that when it comes to objects, objects can be, although they're not worth a Shavapruta, but because they're an object, they have a different status of value. And this is true, Legabe, we spoke about this when we learned Kiddushin, there's a Rajba in Shavuos, that has a tzad, that you should be able to make Kaddish and Isha with a Kli that's worth less than a Shavapruta. Why? It's less than a Shavapruta, but a Kli has a separate status. Every Kli is Choshem, L'shal Atzmai, because it's a Kli. It's usable, has a purpose. I will not sell on the market for a dollar or a pruta, whatever it is. Who cares? It has intrinsic value because it's a kli.
So why didn't we say the same thing to answer Jeff's question before Legabity's shoe? A shoe is a kli also.
Right, but that
you know, so one shoe is enough. It's got value.
Right, but...
Let's use that same answer.
Again, but we're trying to prove that you don't need to have a shava pruta.
Say that again?
We're trying to prove, the Mashal is trying to prove that you need it to have... it doesn't need to be a shava pruta, but it can't be a suri hana. So you tell me, well, look at a shoe. What do I see from a shoe? I see that a shoe is not worth a pruta?
No. Well, that's what we're saying.
Maybe.
Before the kasher was, but you can always use it as a doorstop.
Right.
There's always something.
So maybe you'll say that the shoe is an example of something which is not worth a pruta. So why is it working for chalipin? Because for chalipin, or sometimes the Torah doesn't care about value. The Torah cares about its usage. So they've zokt in Eidei Behuda, maybe it's chalipin is b'chalam not a riot. The reason why it works by chalipin is because by chalipin, the hakpadas ha-Torah, we'll call the ratzon ha-Torah, is to give something chashev. This is chashev. It's not valued chashiv. Chashivus is measured in different ways. So if it says in Eid Behuda, he doesn't think it's a riot at all from our taisus. So therefore, he takes issue with our entire taisus. The beginning of the taisus, the end of the taisus, he takes issue with the whole thing. Okay. But leave off. And if you look at number 8 and 9, it's how the Eid Behuda wants to break down his father's two dinim into really one big din. I don't want to get too much off track because I want to say at least we started the other side. So let's talk about the shayla of can you own a suri hana? We talked about using a suri hana, forget a suri hana for other things. Does a person really own a suri hana? So there's a gemara in Sukkah. The Mishnah says, Orlo apostle. A person is not allowed to use an esrik shal orlo. That means one of the, within the first 3 years, you're not allowed to use it, asr b'hana. That's orlo. That was in Parashas Kedoshim. We had the lesson of orlo. I gave a chumash test to my 11th graders. I asked them for extra credit in Parashas Kedoshim. Where do some people say there's a hint to the concept of upshar in the last week's parasha?
Oh,
they didn't know that because they're too Litvish. They wouldn't know these things.
Right.
But the answer is
Arlo. That's why the Litvaks don't do it because they say their kid's not a tree.
Yeah, the answer is because of the chalal. It's such a far-fetched comparison. It's almost whatever. It's a far-fetched comparison.
Go tell that to my son.
But that's what the Vel does. Yeah, I'm not going to say it because we're recording. But people do it. I'm not saying. But that's what everyone hangs their hat on. They say it's like Arlo. And therefore, Arlo is also the first 3 years. And that's why that's the whole thing with the haircuts. But Zogdi Mishnah, Arlo Ptosl. You're not allowed to use an Esrog of Arlo. Talking about my time. Why can't you use an esek of arlo? So pligi bar b'chiv arabim rebasi. Chad oman lafish ein bo heter achilu. Because it's not edible. And there's a din that whatever you're going to use for esek has to be edible. First sheet in the Gemara. That's not the one we're going to get into. It's actually, I checked up Rabbi Salvechik in his Rishimas. He goes on for pages and pages about this answer of the Gemara. I wanted him to talk about the other answer of the Gemara, which is negate to us. He does not. When he did Sukkah, they talked much more about this concept of the Gemara that has to have a heter achilu. We need the second answer of the Gemara. The chad oman lafish ein bo din momen. Doesn't have a din momen. What does that mean? It doesn't have a din mamon. So Rashi says over here, she'ene shava prut. It's not worth anything. This suri ano, it's worthless. Hilkoch lav shalachem hu. It's not shalachem. So it sounds like from Rashi, that you don't own it. Lachem means you own it. It says in the Torah, kakim lachem. The esrog has to be yours. Lachem excludes borrowed and stolen. You have to own it.
Well, so, why did Rashi have to answer?
Yeah. Very good. Yeah. There's a lot of words in this Rashi that need further discussion. But we'll just start, make at least a haschalah on the sugya. Rashi seems to be alluding, at least in the end of the Rashi, the beginning of the Rashi is a little bit more troubling to me. But the end of the Rashi, Rashi seems to be saying that the problem with an orla is you don't own it. It's not yours. It's not lachem. Why can't you own it? Because it's a suriyana. Now, I would have been medayik against Avni Meluim. I would have thought from Rashi, she'ena shavapruta, is because Avni Meluim said things that are not with the shavapruta are still are you could be kaina, you just can't be kaina surana. I would have thought from this Rashi against Avnei Milum. I would have thought from Rashi, you see, that because it's not a Shavu Pruta, you can't own things that are not a Shavu Pruta. That's not Shaykh in the world of ownership. Ownership is only on something which is worth a Shavu Pruta. But Rashi throws in a lot of words. He writes, it's not a Shavu Pruta because it's a Surana. So that sounds a little different. But many Achrayim assume that Rashi's Shita is, that the reason why you can't use a Surya Hana for a Lulav, for an Esrig, is you don't own it. So if that's the case, that means a Surya Hana, you can't own a Surya Hana. It might have been yours, you grew it in your backyard, but you don't have ownership on it.
Why don't you learn Rashi to say that it's Eino Shava Pruta, therefore you can't own it? Why is it not Shava Pruta? Because it's a Surya Hana.
Oh, right. So you could learn Rashi, then that would come out that Rashi is against Avnei Milum, which means Rashi telling us a big chiddush, that there's no such concept of ownership on something which is worth less than Shavu Pruta. Now, Avnei Milum thought that's not correct. We talked about that maybe it is correct. You ain't a chalami, depending on how you read this Rashi. Yeah.
Why does something that's also not have any value? It may not have any value to Jews, but it has a value in the world.
Right, but as far as you're concerned, it's valueless because you can't do anything with
it. Well, then if we're going to measure everything against what's value to you,
right?
So that could change things all the time
also. Yeah, well, again, the way the Gemara is, we spoke about this, who was this last week? The Birchas Aram spoke about this. It has to be the going on the market. Now, on the market, there's no value for this, at least on the Jewish market.
That's what I'm saying.
I can't sell on the Goshen market either because I'm not allowed to get pleasure from the sale. It's mama's useless.
I'm saying, but inherently it has value, just like the Kli has value, even though it's not.
Right, because the Kli I can actually use if I need to. I can't use this.
So it's all measured by Jewish value.
No, but even Goshen, because I'm not allowed to get enough of the money. Even if I sell it to the guy, I can't take the money. So, you know, it's like Chomet Shavu over Pesach. The guy left over Chomet Shavu over Pesach, he can't do anything with it.
No, it's like
he got flushed it down the toilet.
A gold bar that was used in Avodah Zarah. So, yeah, I get we can't have any Hanoh from it.
Right.
It has the values, but right. It's still a gold bar.
Again, but if I can't
so
use...
it's measured, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
It's measured by what by the
halakhic correct.
Value.
Correct, correct, right.
First you buttle it.
That's right. You got to figure out a way to get it.
Did you melt it? Did you change it?
I don't know. So, simple reading of Rashi would sound like to me that it's lacking ownership. Lachem means you have to own it in a certain way. This is not called Lachem. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's very unclear to me, this Rashi. Now, the Ritva, let's start. The Ritva does not like this pshat. The Ritva takes issue with Rashi. Rashi, the Ritva quotes it as the Ravid. So, the Ritva writes in number 12. It's not true. Chada, first of all, the MK and Psula shall olive shall truma temeo loy have elbim rishon. We know that whenever you come across a psul of lachem is only a problem on the first day. It's not a problem all 7 days of Yom Tov. So, frek the Ritva, if Rashi's right, that the reason why you're not allowed to use Orla is because it's lacking lachem, that it should only be a problem the first day. It shouldn't be a problem on day 3, day 4, day 5. So why does it sound like, says the Ritva, from the Mishnah, that you're not allowed to use it the whole Yom Tov? It shouldn't be true. You should only not be allowed to use it the first day. Then he has Alom de Shekash. In the middle he says, Visu, secondly, Devade kol midi dehave didei u rishusei, deles beischos la'acherim, lochem krinam bei. Here the Ritva attacks the Alom de Shekash. He says, of course it's yours. Anything that's in your possession, and no one else has rights to it, that is yours. So we have a fundamental machloekis b'shoyin between Rashi and the Ritva. What is the status of a Surena? Rashi says you don't own a Surena. He says, of course you do. Anything that's yours, that no one else has rights to come get it, is yours. This was in my backyard, and I grew it, and now you have no right to come get it. It's in my backyard. That is called mine. So clearly the Ritva disagrees with this premise of lack of ownership on a Surena. He thinks you could own a Surena. I said, has he learned the Gemara? So he learned the Gemara with Ksusei Mechtes and Sreifa or whatever. Not so relevant for our Sugya. But what you see from the Ritva is, you have a fundamental machloikis b'shoyim between Rashi and the Ritva, is it possible to own a Surena? According to Rashi, not. And according to the Ritva, it is possible to own a Surena. So Blined, the next time we'll talk more about how this plays out and bring this back to Gerushin and how that's all relevant. If you own